Well, last week we finished off the book of Joshua, and if you missed it, you got to go hear Duffy's message from last week, where he expounded on these famous last words of Joshua, where he said, after all of God's promises have been fulfilled, there's peace in the land. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great place to end. That's going to be a lot more enjoyable than today, unfortunately, because now we get into Judges. We're just going to cruise right into Judges, where Judges, it is a much different story. We now see these different people rise up, but the famous line that I, over and over again in Judges, I always think about this line that, as beautiful as it is to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Judges, the line that we see over and over again is everyone does what's right in his or her own eye. And when that happens, there's just absolute chaos, right? And so we're going to pick up with the first judge we're going to look at today is the judge Gideon. If you don't know anything about Gideon, you are in for a treat. Gideon is a fascinating character, and we've got a lot to learn about Gideon, particularly about how Gideon saw himself. And I think God might just have something for us on how we might see ourselves. I don't know how you deal with yourself, how you see yourself, but here's what I've noticed, is that we all have a version of ourselves that we wish we were, right? I don't want to get you thinking too much about that because it leads to depression, but maybe you wish you were smarter, you wish you were thinner, you wish you were wealthier, you wish you were more confident, you wish you were better in the kitchen, you wish you were better at work. We all have this version of ourselves that we wish we were. In fact, if you're a Jesus follower, you have this, and if you're not a Jesus follower, if you're somebody that maybe somebody invited you and you're trying to figure faith out, or maybe FaithBridge is your church, or maybe you're just kicking the tires on FaithBridge, trying to figure out, is this the kind of place that you want to be a part of? No matter who you are, this is the one area where we can connect on this area. It's a common human problem that we all have this version of ourselves that we wish we were. And Romans 12 says that we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we are. That's dangerous, right? It's dangerous when we think too much of ourselves, but what's equally dangerous is when we think too lowly of ourselves, when we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And so instead of just wishing for a new version of ourselves, we don't need more wishful thinking. No, what we need is we need to start seeing ourselves how God sees us. And that's not easy to do, right? Because we're all ripe with, I think one of the problems that happens when we don't see ourselves correctly is we all are ripe with insecurity. We're all filled with insecurity, right? I don't feel great about me, and it eventually turns into me living a life that I didn't necessarily intend to live, or making decisions that I didn't intend to make. We have this really unfortunate situation in our family that we're praying about. My wife and I, we have 5 kids. It's the summer for us. Our kids are all over the place right now. We just picked one up from Pine Cove yesterday. We've got one on a mission trip right now. We've got one who's at the farm with some friends. Our 14-year-old, he's the one that I'm probably most concerned about, because they're just, it's a free-for-all out there. They just are exploring God's wilderness. And I don't know. I just, when I was 14, I wasn't ready for that. And I don't know that he is either. But our oldest daughter, she has a really close friend who's dealing with, she's really struggling with an eating disorder right now. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And it's one of the things that we pray about over and over and over again. It's on the front of our minds. And if you've ever dealt with that, or if you've ever been around with that, you know what the term body dysmorphia is, right? When you don't see yourself the way other people see you, where the mirror says about you. And as I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about the insecurities that we feel, I wonder, is there a thing such as soul dysmorphia? Is it possible for us to not see our soul the way the Almighty God sees our soul? That maybe you see yourself, and it's through these lenses of your past regret, or the dreams that haven't come true, or the brokenness that's in our world, or the challenges that you face. And instead, I wonder if today God might want to say, hey, I want you to see you the way I see you. And this was Gideon's story. Gideon, he's a really interesting character, because Gideon is a tough person. Gideon has some moments where he is a fierce, he's fierce on the battlefield. I mean, he's kind of like this UFC fighter that's been unleashed, raining terror upon the enemies. But before we get there, we see this version of him that is a little hard to even fathom. You may remember the story of Gideon where God pares down the military. Gideon's got just a few hundred, and they go and say, God says, take them to go drink water. And whoever leans over to drink the water this way, God says, you can go ahead and ask them to leave. I want you to be thin. I want you to be just, I'm going to narrow it down to the bare bones so that I can show off my power through you. And Gideon's the one that leads that. But in Judges chapter 6, we see this version of Gideon that's really hard to recognize. But I believe it's the Gideon that we can relate to. I believe it's the Gideon that God might want to use to show us something about ourselves. If you got a Bible, you can turn to Judges chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible and you would like to have a Bible, just hold your hand up. We've got some ushers that want to walk. They'll walk down the aisle. They'll hand you one. You can leave it in your seat, or you can take it home with you. It'll be a gift to you from us here at Faith Bridge. But let's jump in. Judges chapter 6. Verse 11, here's the way this passage starts. The angel of the Lord came. Now, I don't know what you're thinking when you hear the angel of the Lord came, but this is not the Precious Moments version of the angel of the Lord. This is not an angel that you might find at a store in the mall like Things Remembered. This is an angel that is fierce, that is brutal, that whenever the angel showed up, the angel had to go, do not be afraid. I know you might be afraid, but don't be, okay? So this is the angel of the Lord that came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. A lot of you go, Ophrah, I know her. She had her own television show for a while. Where's she been, right? No, not Oprah, Ophrah. Sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was, this is a huge part for our message today, his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. The Midianites were the big, bad, evil force in this day, and Gideon is terrified of them. He's scared to death, which is why he is threshing his wheat, not in a place where you would thresh wheat, but he was threshing his wheat in a wine press. Now, you all are in luck. You might not look at me and think, oh, I bet this guy knows a lot about threshing wheat, but I have threshed a fair share of wheat in my day. I'm kidding. I've never once threshed wheat before. Has anyone in here ever threshed wheat? Anybody in the chapel ever threshed wheat? Anybody watching online ever threshed wheat? Great. I feel very confident that I have researched more in the last week about threshing wheat than anyone else here. I would imagine that's probably true. Threshing wheat, here's the way it works. So I've read. Threshing wheat is this practice where you don't go down into a wine press. A wine press is done in a low place, a place where the humidity might be high, a place where you want to make sure that everything stays moist and you have the right amount of wetness. But the threshing of the wheat needs to happen up on a high place, because one of the keys to threshing wheat is having wind. You need wind, because you're going to take this wheat and you're going to throw it up in the air, and the things that blow away, the chaff that may blow away, are the things that you don't want. But the things that fall to the ground, the things that you collect, that is the wheat that you're going to want to keep. And this is the way wheat has been threshed for generations after generation. But in Gideon's case, he was not threshing wheat up on a high place. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Why? Because he was scared to death. And if you have ever faced a Midianite in your life, you would be scared to death as well. And you have your own enemy. You have your own problems. You have your own challenges that you face. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's some kind of compulsive behavior that you feel inside of you. But whatever it is that you're facing, every one of us, we can relate to those insecurities that plague us, that keep us in a defensive posture, going, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And the angel of the Lord comes and says the most interesting thing to Gideon. The angel of the Lord appears to Gideon in the wine press and says, quit being such a wimp, you big baby. No. Some of you are like, is that what that says? Boy, I need my reading glasses. No, the angel said, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. And I'm sure Gideon's looking around going, is there someone else in this wine press? Because surely he's not talking to me. This is really important, but when God's perspective on life does not match up with your perspective on life, when one of us is wrong, either me or God, our tendency is to go, oh, God, you have it wrong. How arrogant and how absurd is that, right? Because of the profession that I'm in, I do a lot of corporate speaking, a lot of preaching, and I end up on an airplane about once a week. And I've been fascinated lately. I don't know why I just now started noticing this, but it is interesting when someone, you can see them walking down the aisle of the of an airplane. And they start looking at someone and they start looking at their ticket and you can tell what's happening. Oh, this person thinks that someone is in his seat or in her seat. And I'm always shocked that, partially I kind of want some kind of altercation just to keep things entertaining. There is that. But I'm also shocked by our instinct. You walk up and you go, sir, you're in my seat. And the person sitting there goes, pulls out his or her ticket and goes, well, I'm in 12C. And the person naturally looks back at their ticket and goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm in 14C, or I'm in 12D. And it's amazing to me how instinctually we are to go, one of us is in the wrong seat, and it must be you. Very rarely do you see someone go, oh, someone's in that seat, maybe I'm wrong. It's incredible, no one ever does that. No one ever does, I must have a problem reading my ticket. No, they just immediately go, clearly you're a moron. Clearly you can't read this situation. You can't read the ticket. You're wrong, right? Whenever we're faced with having to decide between is God wrong or am I wrong, we got to know our cognitive bias, our tendency is to go, I must be right and God must be wrong. And don't you all want to pause in that moment and go, let me assess the situation. Could it be that me, a fallen human who is prone to error, has this mistaken? Or could it be that the Almighty God, whose ways are higher than our ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts, has something up his sleeve or sees something that I don't see or knows something that I don't know or has some kind of plan that I don't have access to? Could it be that his way is better? Could it be that he knows and I'm actually the one who's mistaken? Gideon, fortunately, for the sake of the conversation, Gideon goes, clearly you have it wrong, God. I'm not a mighty warrior. But what I hope that every one of us can walk in today, I hope that the way God might move us today is to allow us to recognize that when you see how God sees, you can believe what God says. God, would you give us the access to see the world the way you see it, to see life the way you see it? But God, maybe most importantly, would you allow me to see you so that I can see me the way you see me? When you see yourself correctly, you can believe what God might say about you. When you see God correctly, you can believe what he might say about you, you mighty warrior who's hiding in a wine press. Gideon says, with a lot of kindness and respect, he says, verse 13, pardon me, Lord. I love that he says this to the angel. He's like, with all due respect, but if the Lord was with us, then why has all this happened? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now he says, the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. He's saying, if God's with us, if I'm supposed to be some mighty warrior, then where is God? And when we're stuck, when we're spinning our wheels filled up with insecurity, it's real easy to think, God, you could never use me because look at all my brokenness. Look at all the failures of my past. This is similar to Moses. What we talked about at the very beginning of the year when Moses faces this burning bush. You remember this moment? And what does God say? God says to him, Moses, I am. I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses is going, but I have a stuttering problem. And God goes, but I am. And he goes, this makes no sense. And he goes, I know, because I am. I am what? I am whoever you need me to be. Your insecurity is not a disqualifier. No, your insecurity is often the starting place for what God is aiming to do, for what God is wanting to show. That insecurity that you feel, it's an opportunity for us to experience God in a new way. That insecurity that we feel is an opportunity for God to show off his strength. The Apostle Paul comes on in Corinthians and says, God takes your weakness and God dances on the stage of your weakness to show off his strength. God is not put off by your weakness. Your weakness, your insecurity is not a limiting factor for God. No, God uses your weakness. He uses your insecurity to show off his strength, to show off all that he can do. And so the Lord turns once again, says to Gideon, verse 14, he says, Gideon, I want you to go in the strength that you have and save Israel from Midian's hand. I love this question. Am I not the one sending you? This is huge for us. This is something that we got to remind ourselves every single day. When we head out into our lives, head out into our jobs, head out into our schools to recognize that the Almighty God says, go in the strength that you have. And that's a little confusing because we think, yeah, but I want to go in your strength. Well, what strength do you think we have that is my strength? That is your strength. You hardly have any strength that's your strength, right? No, we have this interesting partnership with God where God says, it's all me who's gonna do the work. But guess what he's asking us to do? You gotta move. You gotta take a step. Eventually, Gideon had to get up out of the wine press. The angel is going, we're not just gonna use some kind of time machine and get you there, or some kind of relocation plan to get you there. I'm gonna need you to get up and move your feet. God has put something in you, but remember, any strength that you have comes from him. Any strength that you have is his strength in you. And then he asks him that question, am I not the one sending you? Every single day to be able to recognize, God, are you not the one sending me? You're the one who's called me into this. You're the one who's crafted this for me. You're the one who's given me this opportunity. Do you know how egotistical it is for us to question the things that happen in our day as if we know exactly what should happen in our lives? And God's going, I'm the Almighty God. You don't think I know best what is happening in your life? Yeah, it offers us this opportunity to trust him and go, God, I'm gonna move, but I'm gonna need your strength, and I'm gonna need you to remind me that you're the one sending me. Now, I don't know when you struggle with this, but for me, one of the greatest, most common moments for me to struggle with this is whenever I open up any social media platform. You probably don't struggle with this, but sometimes I'm tempted to see someone else on Instagram and think, well, how do they have such a great life? God, what are you doing for me? And now it's infiltrated. For the longest time, it was just Facebook, and then it was Twitter, and then it was Instagram, and then there's Snapchat, and then there's TikTok. But now the comparison game has leaked its way into LinkedIn of all places. I thought this was just a directory for us to update our resume and keep the things updated about what we do. But now LinkedIn is this place where everybody's wanting to show off all that they're doing. And at times, it can make us feel less than about ourselves. But we've got to remind ourselves that it is ridiculous to use social media to compare our life to anyone else's life. Why in the world would you compare your behind the scenes to someone else's highlight reel? Right? They're not showing you what's really going on in their life. That's not the point of the platform. The point is to show off your highlights. I have some coworkers that I haven't seen in a while that I recently bumped into, and they go, well, according to social media, seems like you're doing great. And I said to them, what else do you think I'd put out there? All my failures? I'm not gonna show you those. I subscribe to the same plan on social media that everyone else does. Show the best and hide the rest. That's what we all do. So why would we be tempted to compare what we know behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reel, right? God's telling Gideon, same goes for you. Go in the strength that I've sent you. And remember that I'm the one sending you. Gideon has another pushback. He says, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my family. He goes, of all the clans, my clan is the weakest. And in the clan, the weakest clan, I am the weakest one. That makes me the worst of the worst. I'm the runt. You ever met somebody? You know somebody? Maybe somebody in a group that you're in, or a Bible study that you're in, or a home group, that you're just so amazed that God has done all that he's done in their life when you start thinking about where they've come from. For some of you, this is your story. You come from some brokenness. You come from some really hard things. And maybe you are your own worst critic like most people. But every now and then, it's helpful to go, man, God, look at what you have done in my life compared to where I've come from. I was talking to a friend of mine recently. I was trying to pay her a compliment. My wife and I have known her forever, and I'm so amazed at all God is doing in her life. But I'm even more amazed because I know the family that she came out of. And you just wouldn't think that in this life, somebody could come from the family that she's come from and do all that she's done. And I was telling her this. I said, what was the secret? How did you do it? And she said, I had to make a decision that I do not have to be the person that I was raised to be. But don't we all, in a sense, have to make that decision that I'm not going to be the person that I was raised to be, that the world wants me to be, that maybe I was even trained to be? No, no. You have this opportunity to break out of that by the grace of God and become who he wants you to be, despite your past, despite whatever brokenness you come out of, despite your regrets and your failures. This is the joy of the Almighty God, that he says, I can take all that and use it in such a way that I make myself look great, that I show people my strength. Gideon, I know you're from the weakest clan in the whole land. I know you're from the weakest family and even that group of people, but I am going to be your strength. Last verse we're going to look at, verse 16, he says, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. And if you're able to, I would encourage you, go read chapter 7, go read chapter 8, go see what he does. Eventually, he takes these Midianites and he drags them by the skull across the land. It is wild to think that this wimp hiding in a wine press becomes this unleashed warrior on the battlefield. Why? Because he believed what God said about him. Because he believed, I'm not who I am. I'm who you say I am. When our kids were real little, we used to have this ritual when we would put them to bed at night. And I just believe deeply in the power of speaking big things over your kids. I know for me, some of the things that have helped me the most were things that people have spoken over me. And all of our instinct is to remember all the negative, right? And so I prayed, begging God, still, God, help them to remember the things that you have spoken over them through us as their parents. And so at night, we try to tell them things like, hey, I believe that you're courageous and I believe that you're strong. And God's made you. He's made a plan for your life that is uniquely fit for you. And you have the ability to do hard things. You're capable, not in your own strength, but in his strength. We've tried to tell them this ever since they were little. And a couple of years ago, I had this instance where I've shared something like this with you before. But I was walking upstairs and I heard one of them in the bathroom mirror. And there was a miracle taking place. He was brushing his teeth on his own. It was unbelievable. I'm like, what in the world? I didn't even have to tell you to. He's in there and he's about to brush his teeth and he's looking in the mirror and I hear him kind of reciting some of the things that I've said about him. He's looking in the mirror and he's going, you're strong and you're courageous and you're capable, not in your own strength, but in God's strength. And God says you're compassionate. And I was thinking about that going, boy, if his friends catch him doing that at school, he is going to get bullied. That is not a good thing for people to hear you say. And so I was putting him to bed that night and I thought, all right, how do I explain this to him? That I don't want him to get cocky. I don't want him to get arrogant. I don't want him to just go around telling people that this is who he is. So I said, hey, buddy, you know how I say all those things about you? You know why I want you to believe those? I want you to believe them because I believe they're true, but if somebody were to ever ask you, do you really think you're compassionate? Do you really think you're strong? Do you really think you're a warrior? I want you to say to them, well, I don't know that I believe that because sometimes I feel weak and sometimes I don't feel like I have enough. But my dad thinks that I am. I want you to believe it because I believe it about you. And I just wonder, is the same thing not true about the Almighty God? That he says, I'm saying all these things about your life. I don't want you to walk around and think that's in your own strength and think that says a lot about you. I just want you to walk around and go, I mean, I don't necessarily feel this way, but my father thinks that I am. He thinks that I'm able. He thinks I'm strong. He thinks that I'm capable, not in my own strength, but in his. So today, as you walk out, my prayer for you is that you would walk in that. That we would make a decision. We're not gonna walk in our insecurity. It's dangerous to think too highly of ourselves. It's dangerous to think too lowly of ourselves. But we're gonna live life believing that my Father says this about me. So therefore, it must be true. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to believe that. All of life wants to beat that out of us and tell us that's not possible, it's not true. But God, help us, please give us eyes to see us the way you see us. That we are chosen children of the Almighty God. And if you say it's so, well, it must be so. And so I pray that no matter what it is that you're saying over us, whether it's what you said over Gideon, that I am with you, you mighty warrior, that whatever it is that we would go, I don't know that I feel that way, but my Father in heaven believes it's true. So Father, I pray that we would walk in that. I pray that we would live in light of that. And as we do, that we would become forces of good, agents of change, men and women of compassion and courage who are making this world better in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.